but other simple mortal beings, jivas, parts and parcels of Krishna, they may not have so much capacity to reciprocate with everyone, although they have gratitude. For example, you gave me sandesh. You gave so many devotees, different sompapadi, this and that, all this. I'm grateful to you for giving me sompapadi. But I'm not excited with sompapadi. I don't eat it. I gave you back. I accept your love, but I can't accept that sompapadi. I accept your love, but I can't accept that peda. Somehow it doesn't fit me. It doesn't suit me. You give something else, I'll accept. That's all. Just because I'm grateful to you, I'll eat whatever you give me. 10 sweets, I'll eat. I'll have some other problem. Not that way. We have certain restrictions in expression level, in reciprocation level. That is always subjected to certain conditions. But feeling of gratitude should be there. Makes sense? All our Vaishnava quality, Vaishnava character series, you should understand this one theme very prominently. The difference means the emotion and expression may not always match. Be prepared for it. For example, you are kind to a person. Now we are discussing about forgiveness. I'll just mention one point. You have forgiven another person who has caused some trouble to you. You have forgiven him. But you may take an action also. You may chastise him also. Arey, aisa kyun kiya? You have forgiven internally. You have no anger towards him. But externally, you have to manifest anger to discipline him or to correct him or just to make sure that he doesn't do that mistake again. So externally, you need to address things, right? Responsibly, dutifully. But internally, you should not have any negative emotions. Our dealings with negative situations should not make us hold negativity within our hearts. That's a great difficulty. That's the path we have chosen. Negativity should not be within you, but you need to deal with negativity all the while, or many times. Right? Dealing with someone who has done some mistake, you need to correct him, you need to rectify him, you need to give him a feedback. But without any grudge towards him, without any envy or anger towards him. You manifest anger, but you have no anger within. Just like a parent will slap the child. You cannot give mischief. Why you are doing so much mischief? Sometimes the mother may even beat the child also. But internally, mother only has affection for the child, love for the child. Yesterday we were giving the same example. Your brother is sick with tuberculosis. Externally, you will not go to meet him because that is contagious. You will be quite affected. But internally, your affection towards your brother is not gone. As soon as he becomes healthy, you will go and embrace him. Clear? Okay.
Go with the open hearted and utter peace understanding that carry in the heart, express that in front of that. Further we have good relationships. Right? But some situations, for example, because I or in the technical purpose, I have a negative state. I approach without any negative thoughts. Still, there is a possibility I may follow again to him or have good relationship if he accept the mind thought process and feel first. If my purpose is
different. Genuine people will get signals. We can't cheat people for longer time. We can't hide our grudges towards a person for longer time. Internally, if we have grudges, externally you are loving to him. People will notice that grudges after some time. Internally you have love, externally you become strict with him. People will notice that also. Arey, us din gali diye mere ko, I felt bad. But actually he had good intent. He was my well-wisher. That people will recognize. If they may misunderstand you today, but after some time they will understand. Hey, he's my well-wisher. That's why he was chastising me. Although that day he chastised me, I was embarrassed. But still, he was my well-wisher. That's why he chastised me. People will understand later. In that moment, they may be offended, but later they will understand. So our responsibility is not to hold any negativity towards any person, any grudge towards any person, and it's our duty. And that will affect us more than him, that will affect us. If we are envious towards someone, that is not envy towards someone, it is self-envy. Right? If you are angry towards someone, it's like anger upon yourself only. Means you are affecting yourself. You are disturbing your own consciousness. Right? We are disturbing our peace of mind by holding some negativity towards someone. But externally it may be a necessity. Unless you show anger on a person, hey, aisa mat karo. Tabhi usko samjhega, aisa nahi karna chahiye karke. Like that. That doesn't mean you hold grudge towards him. Because people will understand. Why children are not offended so much with parents' chastisements? Ultimately, children understand that they are my shelter. My parents are my shelter. Generally. But in Kali Yuga, anything can happen. But I'm telling about a general sense. Right? People will understand the intent eventually, if not immediately. Even if people don't understand your good intent, Paramatma will understand or not? Any doubts about it? Paramatma will never misunderstand you. That is clear. Krishna will never misunderstand us. But if we hold our grudge and externally we are showing such a smiling face and embracing and hugging people, but internally maintaining negativity towards them, externally you managed it. But Paramatma will not understand. Krishna will not understand. Means we are rewarded or punished for our emotions. Expressions become secondary detail. Expressions are definitely important. Dealings are very definitely important. Although we have grudges inside, but we make an attempt, we fake that we have no grudge sometimes. But that faking should be with an intent to making it. That externally I am polite to him and very friendly to him, although internally I am not very much approving his activity and I don't like him, but still I am doing it with an intention that Krishna, somehow I don't like this fellow, but I understand that I should not envy anyone. Everybody is your part and parcel. Potentially everybody is your devotee. Please remove this dislike that is there in my heart. Remove this negativity that I am holding towards that person. Right? I'm somehow, in an expression level, I'm trying to be polite and loving towards him. Let that love and politeness be within me also. You have a intent to remove that negativity. Krishna will help you to remove that negativity. Right? But if you have no intention to make it, if you are just faking it, then we have to face the consequences. Right? Krishna is observing our intentions. What are we thinking about other people? What are my impressions or plans? Do I have envy towards another person? And evaluating a person is a different thing based on skill set. Now, you are giving certain service to someone. You understand the skills of different people. Different people have different skills. If I do give this service to this person, he will certainly spoil the whole show. Why? Because he doesn't have the skill set to do it. So I will not give it. I'll give it to some other person who has that skill to do it. Just because I'm not giving the service opportunity to this person and I'm giving it to someone else, that doesn't mean I don't love him. He doesn't have the necessary skill to take it. Right? If I ask someone to type a computer document, right, who has never seen a computer, laptop. If you give him the keyboard, he will say, A kidhar hai, idhar hai kya, B kidhar hai, udhar hai, C kidhar hai, arre C nahi hai keyboard mein, haan C idhar hai, haan C idhar. If he is searching where is A, B, C, how will he type a document? I can't trust him for it. But I trust him as a person. I don't trust him for that activity. Getting right? So you need to evaluate people while dealing with them on work basis. But on a personal basis, we need to love people. We need to reciprocate with people. Person is different. His talents are different. Talents are temporary. Right? Person is permanent. Relationship with him is permanent, at least within one lifetime. May not be permanent, but I can say that's more important. Right? Not permanent. Okay. Any other questions on gratitude part and any corollary of gratitude theme? Many corollary questions are there, auxiliary questions. Apart from only 2-3 people who are speaking, other people, would they would like to speak? Right? I don't mind speaking to these 2-3 people only, but you can, others also can be interactive. They can also ask some questions. Yes, Hari Bhakti Prabhu.
Prabhuji, sometimes like we have our authority and we have tried to satisfy him by serving to our capacities, but many times or sometimes it is not, he is not satisfied with our work. So should we go and clarify with him that we have done our part and but we couldn't satisfy you, or will it be all kind
of? It's not we could not satisfy you. And a genuine authority or in charge, whatever, the person who is giving you service, he is satisfied when you put your sincere efforts. He is not satisfied when you don't display that sincerity in doing that seva. Whether you accomplish or not, that's a little different topic. But as far as whether a person is pleased with you or not depends on your reciprocation and your sincerity in dealing with him. But as far as the accomplishment, the work is concerned, that work needs certain quality. And if that quality is not coming out, certainly there is dissatisfaction that this service did not happen properly. This activity was not completed the way it is supposed to be. But there is no personal grudge there. Next time he will not give you that service. That doesn't mean that you think that he doesn't like you. Any sensible person will not mix a personality with his skill set. Right? He doesn't evaluate people based on their skill set. He will evaluate people based on their attitude. Any sensible person is like that. So, when someone is not trusting you for some work, that doesn't mean he doesn't trust you as a person. If he's not satisfied with your work, that doesn't mean he's dissatisfied with you as a person. Yeah, you could not satisfy him with that seva. That's fine, no problem. No, it's not. You should put your full endeavor. Despite your putting your full endeavor, you don't satisfy him, then you are not responsible. But you have dissatisfied him by not putting your sincere efforts. You wasted time, or although you have talent, you did a half-hearted job. You worked like a government employee. Yesterday we did that, right? You didn't show any enthusiasm to extend yourself when the service needed that. For genuine reasons, it's fine. I mean, 5 o'clock, you don't have to shut down. We can always work till 5:30. You have that bandwidth, you have that talent, you have that energy, you have that time. Still, you are not extending. Prabhu, itna hi karna hai mere ko. 5 baj gaya, main ja raha hu. So, then people may be little not very excited, pleased with you. Getting right. So it's not about the quality of work. It's about the quality of our attitude. When attitude is pleasant, nobody will be dissatisfied with us. Still somebody may be dissatisfied, then you take it as your purification. That's meant for our purification. Right? Many people are satisfied with me, they glorified me, although I don't deserve it. Somebody will gallify me, although I don't deserve it. Glorification, gallification. Glorifying and goalie firing. You need to be ready for it. If you are afraid of it, then the process is like that. You may not actually find a logical reason why I am glorified and why I am goalie fired. Many times, or sometimes at least. And we need to be prepared for it. Okay, next. Any other questions? Half an hour went in warming up only. Now I'll start the new topic, forgiveness. We'll continue it a little later, but we'll share a few points. Prabhupada and our beloved acharyas, they very interestingly made an intimate connection between tolerance and forgiveness. Tolerance and forgiveness. So, these two are actually inseparable. When you say tolerance, it only sees that you are just not violently responding to an unpleasant situation. That can also be tolerance. Right? Somebody is slapping you. You tolerated it physically. Maybe you tolerated it verbally also. But tolerating mentally, is it possible? Generally not. Right? You may tolerate physically. Arey, ek slap maradu kya? I'm not dying out of that slap. If he takes a knife and just puts that knife in my belly, then I will be get affected. But one slap I can always tolerate. It's okay. It's not so painful. But it's painful at the heart level, mind level. We get affected at that level. Subtle body level, not gross body level. Gross body, very little inconvenience. Itna mein kuch hota nahi. It's not intolerable pain. But intolerable pain is to the mind. So we may tolerate by without speaking. Arey, kyun mara mujhe? How dare you do it? I will also slap you. So like that, you have restrained yourself. But internally, your mind is unable to tolerate it. Externally, you are manifesting tolerance. But actually, tolerance in its complete sense is, at mental level also, if you tolerate the urge to criticize him, then that is real tolerance. That needs forgiveness. You should be able to forgive a person who has caused you some inconvenience or difficulty in your life. Then the tolerance that you are manifesting externally is complete. Otherwise, you are tolerating externally, and internally you are maintaining certain grudge. Again, it boils down to the other one only, the previous discussion only. Like that. So thus tolerance and forgiveness have intimate connection. Right? Even if you cause this trouble, I forgive you. Actually, forgiveness is the license to go to the spiritual world. It's visa. You know, without visa, people will not allow you to go to another country. Is it not? So for us to go into the spiritual world, we should have the visa of forgiveness. If we can't forgive even one living entity who has caused us some difficulty in this world, how can we expect to go to the spiritual world? Means, you can't forgive a person means internally there is some grudge towards him, some anger, some disapproval towards him. Acharyas, pure devotees, they forgive the most demoniac people also, the most atheistic fellows also. Prahlad Maharaj has forgiven Hiranyakashipu. How much difficulty that Hiranyakashipu gave to Prahlad? You know that story, right? Prahlad Hiranyakashipu, you know? Everybody knows. So, he tried to kill him. And after Hiranyakashipu was killed, Prahlad was asked by Narasimhadev, what do you want to ask me? Any benediction I can give you. What did Prahlad Maharaj ask? I don't want anything. Please forgive my father. Please deliver his soul. Like that. Means Prahlad Maharaj has absolutely no grudge, no negativity towards someone who tried to kill him in various ways for no reason. Why he is saying Hari? Everybody is saying Hira, Hira. Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyakashipu. And this one boy is saying Hari. Hira, Hari. There's only little difference. Hari, you should also say Hiranyakashipu. Om, Om Hiranyakashipaya Namaha, whatever the mantra may be. How can you say Hari? It's too much. He could not tolerate. And he tried to kill him by making Prahlad throw from mountain cliffs, throw into the ocean. Giving him poison, snake bite, what else? Elephants are crushing him, and some fierce weapons are just used to hurt his tender body. 5-year-old boy, how tender are the limbs? nothing is developed. And you try to kill him multiple ways. And this fellow doesn't realize only. I try to kill him in so many ways that still he's not dying. That means something else is protecting him. Some other power is protecting him. Right? But why should I unnecessarily make my attempts to kill him anymore? So let me not kill him. Oh, that intelligence did not get into his head. Hiranyakashipu, he tried to kill him. Till he was killed, he is trying to kill him only. Usko marna pada. Right? To stop his killing attempts. Like that. But Hiranyakashipu was forgiven wholeheartedly by Prahlad. Because Prahlad never took any offense only. The question of tolerance will come when you have actually accepted that he has done something negative to you. But if you have already forgiven for what he has done, you don't have to tolerate. Tolerance will become very natural for you. Like that. So, Prabhupada says, Haridas Thakur is an emblem of tolerance and forgiveness. He was beaten up in 22 marketplaces. And he has forgiven those people who have administered that punishment, who have ordered that punishment also. He is forgiven. No grudges towards anyone. He tolerated it, definitely, physically. 22 marketplaces, you are just being beaten up like anything. He tolerated it, but he also forgave them at heart. If our external tolerance is backed up with internal forgiveness, then it is complete. The cycle is complete. Like that. So, Bhakta Swabhava Agna Dosha Kshamakare Krishna Swabhava Bhakta Ninda Sahite Napare. Bengali statement from Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is Bhakta Swabhava to forgive even the greatest offender. Draupadi forgave Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama killed 5 sons of Draupadi. She is lamenting like anything. You don't understand, unless you become a mother, you don't understand what it means to suffer the death of a son. Mother's emotions we can understand only we become mothers. You don't have to be, but I'm telling, we can't feel so much of pain that Draupadi was experiencing. But what a great Vaishnavi she was. She forgave Ashwatthama. After Ashwatthama was brought in front of her, and told, and Arjuna, Bhima was telling, kill him. So much of argumentation was going on. Then what did Draupadi say? Draupadi said that, I understand the pain of son's death. How can I give the same pain to Kripi, who is the mother of Ashwatthama? If Ashwatthama is killed, his mother Kripi will feel bad, will undergo the same pain. I could empathize with her. I don't want her also to experience the same pain like me. So release this fellow. I don't want to take any revenge. Like that. No revengeful attitude. So she, at heart, she forgave. Like that. So from that Vaishnava perspective, it's fine. But from practical perspective, from Akshatriya perspective and all, punishment may have to be done. So these two have to be spoken in a, seen in different levels. Right. Prabhupada also appreciates Arjuna for not offending, not preparing to fight with the Kauravas, for his soft-heartedness, gentleness, for his ability to forgive. But Krishna will never forgive a person who offended his devotee. So Krishna wanted war. This is the explanation that Prabhupada gives. Krishna wanted war. Arjuna is just an instrument in Krishna's hands. So Brahmanas have become worshipable by the quality of forgiveness. Brahmanical quality. Kshamaya rochate lakshmir brahmi shauri yatha prabha. Kshaminam asu bhagavam stushyate haririshwarah. Who said this to whom? Parashuram. Jamadagni tells this to Parashuram. In what context? Kartavirya Arjuna. Parashuram went and killed Kartavirya Arjun. Why? Because his sons came and kidnapped Kamadhenu cow. Like that. He caused some disturbance and Parashuram went and killed him. He came back, reported to his father. Father, hurry, you killed a king. You should forgive. You are a Brahmana. You are supposed to have the quality of forgiveness. Kshamaya rochate lakshmir. The real wealth of a Brahmana is to be able to forgive wholeheartedly the offender. Right? That will satisfy the Supreme Lord. Like that. A sadhu is actually never angry. He may manifest anger. Externally, he may manifest anger to do certain good work only. Right? Or he may become angry with atheistic people who offend other Vaishnavas and Krishna, Supreme Lord. So, at that level, there is anger. But actually, at heart, there is no anger in a sadhu. A sadhu is not supposed to have such anger. In the practice stage, we may become victims of anger once in a while, sometimes, occasionally. But a perfect sadhu will not have actually anger at heart. So the real feature of devotees is to undergo that tapasya, austerity of forgiveness. We have so many austerities, but the biggest austerity that we need to do is to be able to forgive another person wholeheartedly, even if he causes some harm to us or inconvenience to us. That's the biggest austerity for us. At heart, tolerating is one austerity externally, not responding. He says something and you reply, "Hey, aisa kyun bola? Dekhta hun. Kya hai tum?" So, I mean, at least at verbal level, we just kind of restrict. Physical level, we should always restrict. No speaking at all. No beating people. If the beating happens within a devotee circle, it's really unpleasant and unfortunate. Right? Physical, nothing. Sometimes verbal may manifest. But as much as possible, we should have control over our verbal responding also to personal insults and all. But even greater than that is, internally we should be able to tolerate. Means that means forgiveness. When can we internal tolerance is forgiveness. Right? So if we are completely able to forgive a person for whatever he has done to us and accept this whole unpleasant experience as a response to our own past misdeeds, I am rewarded so many times, although I don't deserve that reward. If once or twice, if I am chastised or disrespected or inconvenienced, although apparently I am innocent in that context, why should I have any problem? Many times we are carried away by the immediate things, immediate emotions. Right now I am undergoing some trouble, I will immediately deal with it by responding in some violent manner or unpleasant manner with the people who have apparently caused the trouble. But if you go one step behind and think that, this is happening to me, this unpleasant experience is happening to me as a reaction to my past, some deed. I may not remember it. I must have done it 10 years back or 20 years back or in the previous lifetime. The reaction is coming now. So let me just tolerate it. Because not a blade of grass moves without Krishna's sanction. Is it not? Any doubts about it? So this unpleasant experience is happening with me, because of Krishna's sanction only. So I forgive. Like that. What have you learned just 3-4 days back when Dharma, bull, was asked by Parikshit Maharaj, "Who is the cause of your suffering?" Dharma did not point out anyone. Dharma just said, "It's Krishna's will." Like that. So beauty of a tapasvi is his forgiveness. Prabhupada writes. So to get freedom from this anger, we should learn to forgive. When can we be freed from the anger? When we can forgive. Like that. So one who is both devoted and highly advanced in intelligence does not take action against the soul or the body. If there is any discrepancy, he forgives. Forgiveness is the quality of those who are advanced in spiritual knowledge. This, the Supreme Lord tells Prithu Maharaj. Indra was coming and stealing the horses, stealing the sacrificial horse in the Ashwamedha Yajna. It's a horse sacrifice, and horse he is stealing. How will he conduct horse sacrifice? You know that story, right? Indra has stolen Prithu Maharaj's horse. Then Vishnu comes and tells, forgive Indra. Are galti usne kiya, feedback mere ko de rahe. That's what spiritual life is. Brahmaji came and told Prithu Maharaj, you don't have to do 100 sacrifices. 99 sufficient for you. Enough. Bas. Band karo abhi. You should go and tell Indra to stop stealing horses. Why you are telling me to stop sacrificing? Kya chal rahe? What kind of authority you are? Brahmaji? Prithu never questioned like that. You know the whole story, right? Everybody knows Prithu Maharaj's story? At least to some extent. Most people know. So that one devotee. So Prithu Maharaj was conducting a horse sacrifice. Indra is coming and stealing that horse. Prithu Maharaj has conducted 99 horse sacrifices, and in the 100th sacrifice, Indra is stealing the horse. Why? Because Indra is the only person who had the record of conducting 100 horse sacrifices. Now Prithu Maharaj also, if he conducts horse sacrifice, then Indra's record is broken. Maybe Prithu Maharaj may become Indra later. Indra is always insecure, envious, angry. So he is causing some disturbance and mischief in Prithu's sacrifice. Then Brahmaji. And every time Indra is coming and stealing a horse, he is changing his form and becoming like a sadhu, bogus sadhu. He is wearing saffron cloth in a different style, and he is wearing a different hairstyle, and then coming and stealing. Somebody is thinking that, oh, some sadhu has come. Hari, he is a thief, Indra. He is taking away the horse. So like that, he is creating so many apasampradayas. Like that. Then Brahmaji came. Then Indra became, Prithu Maharaj became angry. I will kill this fellow Indra. Why he is disturbing my sacrifice? He just took his bow and arrow. Then Brahmana said, hey, you should not take bow and arrow. You are a yajamani of this sacrifice. How can you kill him? We will kill him with mantras. Brahmanas were about to chant mantra. Then Brahmaji came there. Brahmaji told, don't kill Indra. He is a part of the Supreme Lord's body. Prithu Maharaj, my suggestion is, stop the sacrifice. Indra will not steal your horse. Kya problem? Stop. 100 sacrifice, why need to do? Why you need to do? You don't need to do. If Prithu Maharaj has done only 2-3 sacrifices, and Brahma comes and says, don't do 100 sacrifices, probably it's digestible. He has done 99 sacrifices. 100th is about to get finished. And he says, stop it. It's too much, is it not? And what is the lesson given to him? Forgive Indra. My God, it's too much. Why should I forgive him? Is it logical? What kind of judgment you are giving Brahmaji? And after Brahmaji comes, Vishnu personally comes with Indra. Hey, they go, Indra. I captured Indra so that you can punish him, so that you can forgive him. And Vishnu also supports. Brahmaji is saying, Vishnu is saying, what will Prithu do? I forgive him. Right? Not as an obligation. Wholeheartedly he forgave. With full detachment. I don't want this record of conducting 100 sacrifices. I don't want to outsmart Indra. I don't want to fight with Indra, or I don't want to compete with Indra. I have a greater opportunity to follow the instruction given by Brahmaji, although apparently there is no logic in it. He manifested that submissiveness, surrender, malleability, flexibility, obedience towards a spiritual personality. It doesn't make sense logically, but why should I stop? No. Logic, baad mein baazu mein rakho. Obedience. That is obedience beyond logic. Right? Obedience beyond logic. He said, no problem. I'll. And it's not that I have no option. Or he is still maintaining grudge towards Brahmaji, or towards Vishnu, or towards this. Who is that? Indra or someone. No anger, no envy, no grudge, no negative feelings. With full detachment, wholeheartedly, he forgave Indra and stopped sacrifice. and sacrificing his ambition to perform 100 sacrifices is the real sacrifice that Prithu has done, and that pleased Vishnu. Vishnu came, "I am very pleased with you." Ultimately, you conduct sacrifice to do what? To satisfy Vishnu, is it not? Ignarthat karmanon yatra lokoyam karma bandhanah. You know this verse? You know? Are bhakti has again abhi? Ignarthat karmanon yatra. Bhakti has rihuwa nahi apka. Hey, verse nahi pata hai toh, bhakti has rihuwa nahi. Third chapter, 9th verse. No problem, don't worry. Just joking. I also don't know many verses in Bhagavad Gita. So, this is the real sacrifice he has done. Sacrificing his ambition to perform sacrifice has become the real sacrifice that satisfied Vishnu. The purpose of sacrifice is to satisfy Vishnu, and Vishnu is satisfied without conducting that sacrifice. Why? He manifested the quality of forgiveness and obedience to a spiritual authority, superior authority. Right? We need Vaishnava. Understanding is much deeper. It's not surfacial. Right? We can't have a stereotyped logical or dharmic or moral or practical thinking. Yeah, that needs to be done definitely. But Vaishnavism is little deeper than all of these things. Right? So who will get galti kisne kiya, gali kisne khaya? Right? Indra did the mistake and feedback is given to Prithu. Is it justice? No. But that's what happens in spiritual circles. May not be always, but sometimes. With some people. Right? Who told this? Washerman told. Washerman said that how can Rama maintain Sita like that? Who stayed in someone else's house for 1 year? Ram said, "Sita, go out. Lakshman, you go and implement this." So Lakshman went and left Sita in the forest and came back. Is there any logic in it? Sita already did Agni Pariksha. You know that? But still, Sita was banished. So we can see the examples of great devotees, how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is dealing with such intimate devotees. And none of them had any grudges towards any people who are instrumental in this whole experience. Forgiveness. Did Sita hold any grudge towards that washerman? Kaun hai wo dhobi wala? Samne lao. Sita did not say like that. How dare he comment about me? She did not go to Mahila Mandali and then did a dharna in front of Ayodhya. Or he did not says for washerman. Like, sab dhobi wala ko pura research karo. Whoever has made that comment, bring him in front of me. I will personally punish him. No, there's no point of thinking in that direction only. Forgive. Whoever has been instrumental in this unpleasant experience, accept it as Krishna's will. Continue. If it is on a personal level, but if it is on a community level, a bigger level, you need to understand the whole thing and then responsibly behave. But internally, we should forgive. Hate the sin, not the sinner. That's the statement. A devotee forgives and forgets any offense against himself. But he doesn't forgive or forget the offense done to another Vaishnava or another or Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Right? Personal insults we should be able to forgive. Personal inconveniences. So Vaishnava is personally detached from his material body, which is made of pus, stool, urine, mucus, bile, bones, nerves, blood, etc., etc. Therefore, the devotee is able to overlook the obnoxious behavior he sometimes meets within the course of his activities. So Prahlad Maharaj prayed. Like that, we have so many examples in Shastras. Ambarish Maharaj forgave Durvas Muni. What did Ambarish do? Parent time is just going away. And Durvas Muni is coming very late. So I need to break my fast before certain time. So he just took a drop of Charanamrit, little water. And Durvasa got offended. You know the story? Durvasa got offended. He created a fiery demon to kill Ambarish Maharaj. Arey, thoda ek drop charanamrit liya to marna chahiye kya? Ambarish never questioned like that. He did not move a millimeter also from where he was standing, although this fiery demon is trying to kill him. So although Ambarish Maharaj tolerated it and forgave it at heart, this chakra, Sudarshan chakra of the Lord did not forgive. It was chasing Durvasamuni till he surrendered to Ambarish only. You know the whole story. I will not elaborate. But Ambarish Maharaj didn't take the offense only. He forgave at heart. Yudhishthira Maharaj forgave Duryodhan. Right? He was willing to forgive. Draupadi forgave Ashwatthama. Prithu Maharaj forgave Indra. We have seen all these examples. Devaki and Vasudev forgave Kamsa. Six children Kamsa killed. Not that when they are grown up, they are such small babies. Who has the heart to kill a newborn baby? But Kamsa just killed six children. And how can a mother forgive such a killer? But Devaki forgave. Vasudeva forgave. No grudges in heart anymore. That's the big heart of a Vaishnav. A Vaishnav can forgive even the greatest offender. What to speak of someone who causes some little inconvenience, this and that. We are sleeping and someone makes some noise, neend ud gaya. You cannot forgive him. Hey, itna noise karte hai. Ishtagoshtami, that becomes a big issue. Right? Yeah, we need to practically take some steps. We need to give feedback. All these things are there. But we should not hold grudge towards that person. We cannot carry such a negative impression towards another person who must have caused some inconvenience. Purposely or accidentally or whatever it may be. Forgiveness has to be there. Small, small things. Haridas Thakur forgave Ramachandra Khan. Another point is, we need to take an action. Every time I am saying this. We need to take an action against some person for what he has done. But with a forgiving heart. If you don't take action, then we are indirectly approving that bad action that he has done. Don't approve the misbehavior of person. Disapprove it. But don't disown them. Yesterday also I was telling this, right? Mahaprabhu disapproved the mistakes done by some of his devotees. But he never disowned them. At heart, he is always merciful towards them. So Parikshit Maharaj forgave Sringi. What did Parikshit do? He took a dead snake and put it on Shamik Rishi's neck. Did for tat. You put another dead snake on my neck. Fine, ho gaya na. Or you put a live snake at least. Theek hai, dekhte. How can you curse me to die because of snake bite? It's too much. That in 1 week. Not after 10 years or 1 century. Ek hafta mein. Mar jao. What is the offense and what is the reaction? But Parikshit forgave Sringi. He didn't even bother. That internal quality of forgiveness is very much there. Right? And one thing is, Parikshit Maharaj did not go and beg forgiveness from Shami Krishi. Why? Because Shami Krishi is already feeling bad that Parikshit is cursed like this. How can I go and beg forgiveness and embarrass him further? So Parikshit Maharaj didn't beg forgiveness. So first, you should forgive. Second, if you have done a mistake, you should go and say sorry. You should be humble enough to beg forgiveness. And that is also again at heart. And it has to manifest in expression level also. But sometimes it may not manifest in expression level, but still at heart, he is seeking that forgiveness and he is genuinely repentful and remorseful for the mistake he has done. Chitraketu said few things about Shiva and Parvati got offended. You know that story? Parvati got offended. We can discuss when that chapter comes, the junior batch. So seeing that Parvati got affected, although Chitraketu accepted the curse of Parvati, he went and begged forgiveness. He said, "My dear mother, I never mean to say anything negative or disrespectful towards your husband. But whatever you think is wrong, let that be wrong, and may I be forgiven for it. Please forgive me. He said that, I seek your forgiveness, my dear mother. Because he couldn't understand that although he did not have any negative intent towards Shiva, but still she felt bad. Parvati felt bad. Because Parvati felt bad, it's his responsibility to pacify her, console her, clarify to her that, my dear Parvati, actually you are like my mother. I never mean to disrespect your husband. Because when a husband is disrespected, a chaste wife cannot tolerate it. That's why she cursed. Right? How can a chaste wife tolerate? So he took it as a responsibility and went and pacified her. Not to get relief from the curse, but only to give her solace. Beg forgiveness. I'm sorry for causing this mental agony to you, anxiety to you. Like that. So the mood is like very exalted. Whether you beg forgiveness or don't beg forgiveness, that's a Vaishnava. So Shiva forgave Daksha for all the mistakes he has done. Because of Daksha, Shiva lost his wife Sati also. Shiva was insulted. Shiva was deprived of his shares in all sacrifices because of Daksha's curse. So many things Daksha has done to Shiva. But Shiva forgave Daksha so conveniently. But Sringi, he could not forgive the Parikshit Maharaj for the little thing that he has done. Sringi could not forgive Parikshit. Daksha could not forgive Shiva. But there are so many people who could not forgive others. But there are so many Vaishnavas who forgive others very conveniently, very effortlessly they have forgiven. Like that. And real forgiveness should come from heart, not like a matter of duty or anything. We can discuss more. It's already 6 o'clock. Any questions or comments on forgiveness based on whatever we have discussed so far? Forgiveness, Kaupar, questions?
Correct. Start actually, basically, because once one is matured, he is easily to discern anything. But just like the Buddha asked to Kapil Muni, the nature actually. My condition is in nature, very difficult to separate. Like that, you know, how to start actually in the basic level, practical level, to calm that. Because we generally quality identify the person, the condition. Also.
Yeah. We need to remind ourselves about one is philosophically we need to remind ourselves. If I hold any grudge towards any person or if I label different people based on their activities or skill sets, right? It's not proper. Philosophically we need to reconcile things. We need to remind ourselves, we need to discuss with other people. Second is, we should also see people and notice their fine qualities. Yeah, maybe he is not good at this, but his chanting is very nice. He attends Mangalarti on time. Or his Bhagavatam reading is very nice. Because we are all work in progress. You understand what is work in progress? Did I tell you this earlier? No, I didn't tell you. Okay, fine. Construction site. I think I told the junior batch. So when a building is being constructed, you can't live there. Right? The walls are raised, pillars are raised, roof is not made. Or after some days, after 10 days, roof is also made. But doors are not put, windows are not put. And after a month, doors and windows are also there, but the walls are not painted. Flooring is not done. Okay, flooring is also done, walls are also painted. But the necessary furniture is not there. Electricity is not there, fan light are not there. Means it will take a while for the building, the complete building to manifest. For you to live inside that building. You can't live in just four raised walls without any roof and without furniture, without different facilities that are supposed to be there. Water supply hona chahiye, flush chalna chahiye. How can you use a toilet without flush? So we are all work in progress. Sadhaka life means we are work in progress, is it not? we are not perfected, we are not Siddha Purushas, we are not Achyuta Bhava Siddha. We are still struggling with anarthas. We began the process with a little faith. Thoda bhajan kriya kar rahe hum log. Still there are so many anarthas. Like that, we are all work in progress. So, when you go into a building, unfinished building, definitely you cannot live there, but also you cannot even stand there for longer time. Constantly. The cement is coming on your face, reti is coming on your face. And when they are painting, there's some paint drops are falling on your shirt. So like that, and lot of sound is coming. People are just doing the jumper leke. They are just drilling the holes. The drilling machine sounds are coming. Construction sound is coming. So much sounds are coming. It's a little difficult. Similarly, we are work in progress. We are not yet pure completely. When people deal with us or when we deal with similar people, we are inconvenienced by their manner, by their behavior, by their dealings. But good thing is, why a owner still visits that unfinished building under construction on a regular basis? Because the owner understands that at one point this building will be finished. Then I can live in this building. Similarly, why we still maintain relationships with sadhakas and ignoring or neglecting or overlooking their faults, we focus on the good qualities and still continue to interact with them? Because we know they are our shelter. We are practicing spiritual path. They are also practicing spiritual path. They have some shortcomings. I also have some shortcomings. I expect them to tolerate my shortcomings and welcome me. Similarly, I should also tolerate their shortcomings and welcome them. And thus we stay together and continue. Work in progress together. Two buildings are work in progress. Three buildings. Here 20 buildings are there. Building kab khatam hoga pata nahi. It may be one lifetime, two lifetimes. Or it could be 2-3 years also. Don't think that your work will be completed in 2 years within Vidyapeeth only. Work in progress. As long as work is progressing, there is a hope that it will be completed. If the progress halts, then work will not be completed. Right? So we need to accept people the way they are. Right? We need to separate their shortcomings from their pure intent to progress in devotional service. Right? Unless we fail to, unless we attempt to notice their pure intent and overlook their shortcomings, or at least not be overwhelmed by their shortcomings, it's very difficult for us to deal with people. So the practical step is just see their intent. Yeah, he may be imperfect in these 10 things, but he's intending to improve. He's intending to love Krishna. Prema Pumartha Mahan means developing love for Krishna is my goal, and his goal also, and his goal also, his goal also, his goal also. So they're aspiring for a pure thing, then we need to respect them on that level. Although there are 100 other things which are not very pleasant to us. And on a practical things, there should, modes also should match. We are in a certain mode, we have certain prakriti. As I was telling, why prakriti people, they are little fast. Pitta prakriti people, they are little angry and irritable. And kapha prakriti people, they are little lazy and slow. Shant. Right? Kuch tension le lena ka jivan mein. Like that. So, we are, our bodies are of certain prakriti. We manifest certain nature. Right? We are all controlled by material nature. Kya kar sakte abhi? We have to respond to that nature's control over us. So, we can't judge people based on all these external considerations. The better way to judge people is, did he take shelter of Krishna? He may be imperfect in 100 things, but he's trying to follow Krishna consciousness as to the best of his ability. His ability and my ability may be different. But if you are really irritated by someone's overall nature, your nature and his nature are not compatible, you are too much into Vata Prakriti where you are too fast, and the other person is too much into Kapha Prakriti where he is too slow, you can't work together. It's a little difficult. So maintain safe distance. At heart, don't hold any negativity and grudges. But on a practical level, if it is necessary, maintain safe distance from a person who is not compatible with you because of that external natures. If you don't maintain distance, safe distance, you may eventually offend also. Because when we closely interact with people, there is more opportunity to see more faults in that person. Faults are there in everybody, is it not? The more closely we observe a person, the more opportunity to see more faults in that person. So for that reason, you may maintain a safe distance. Not that this person is a faulty fellow, he's a fallen fellow, not that way. The mood there is, maintaining safe distance, the mood is, I have a tendency to see faults. So, if I closely interact with this person, I may see more faults in him. So, I am trying to protect myself from this fault-finding propensity by maintaining a safe distance. That's the mood. Intent matters, attitude matters, mood matters. In fact, that only matters. That's the most important thing that matters, more than anything else, ultimately. Krishna is that only, Bhavagrahi Janardana. With what mood am I maintaining safe distance? A fallen, easily let me maintain safe distance. No, I am fallen. If I interact with him closely, I will see more faults, so let me maintain safe distance. Because somehow his nature and my nature are incompatible for whatever reasons, so let me just maintain some distance. But that should never go into the zone of disrespect. Modes will not match with everyone. With some people you find compatibility, with some people you are not very compatible. Makes sense? Does it make sense? Hari Bhakti Prabhu. He did not forgive Parikshit Maharaj. He immediately cursed him. No. I just made a simple point that Sringi, as soon as he heard from some of his friends that Parikshit Maharaj put some dead snake around his father's neck, Sringi felt offended. How dare he insult my father? Kshatriyas are like watchdogs. How can they expect to come inside the room and dine on the same plate with the master, who is the Brahmana? So like that he spoke so many things, and without forgiving him, he just cursed him. That's the only simple point I'm making. After that, Sringi just cried. When I say he did not forgive, that is according to that context, not the later context. Whatever has happened to him has happened, I don't know. He offended again.
Forgive or not, but that I and from the sentence, everything looks like, you know, really has made for you nicely. He told that if you are not forgiven,
see, it depends on the seriousness of the mistake also. Now, you are dancing, you are just rolling like this, and then your hand touched another devotee. Arey Prabhu, I'm sorry. It's okay, it's a small thing. Even stepping on the shadow of a Vaishnava is also an offense. Right? But you don't stop attending Tulsi Arati from tomorrow and circumambulating Tulsi. Right? That's not the thing. The thing is, how serious is the offense? Daksha is having such a very serious malice towards, envy and anger towards Shiva, long-term envy, that's a very grave offense. Small, small things happen here and there, mistakes, and then you kind of, you say sorry and he will also not mind. It's okay, that small, small things will keep happening. After all, we are not so pure. You don't have to bother ourselves so much. You can't be conscious so much about that small, small things. But as soon as you become aware that, oh, this is, I did some inconvenience to some devotee, go and let me say sorry, that's fine.
So it's like Krishna never forgives offenders towards his devotees. So Krishna, like when devotees like forgive his offenders, so Krishna is like, is Krishna forgives his devotees offenders?
Devotee forgives an offender. Krishna doesn't forgive an offender. But when devotee is so bent on getting some mercy for that offender from Krishna, then later Krishna also forgives. That's what happened with Durvasmani. Durvasmani surrendered to Amrish Maharaj. Amrish Maharaj prayed to Krishna, please forgive him. Pray to Sudarshan. In exchange of all my spiritual credits, please protect this Brahmana. Then Durvas was forgiven. Right? But immediately Krishna will not forgive. He knows the devotee has forgiven already, but he will not forgive unless the devotee comes and actually tells him, Arey Prabhu, you please don't. The devotee has to come and recommend that offender in front of Krishna. Otherwise Krishna will punish him. Like that. Okay. So many questions. He is an incarnation of Shiva. Shiva is, the Rudra principle is anger principle. So different sages and different personalities manifest certain qualities very prominently. Apart from that, I don't know much about the background. He is an incarnation of Shiva. I first saw his hand. I'll come to you. Class time pe khatam karo. Main khatam kar diya. Aap log question pooch rahe hain. So Daksha is unable to forgive. He could not forgive because of his deep-rooted envy that we just discussed. Sringi, out of his arrogance, out of his pride, out of his immaturity, and actually Brahmanical qualities will degrade in Kali Yuga, and Sringi inaugurated it. Sringi's curse is the beginning of degradation of Brahmanical qualities in Kali Yuga.
It's a simple question. His tolerance, that if you can forgive
too lofty. Ask a practical question. You ask, what is your practical need? Ask, what is the practical question that you are having? Many people ask a practical question. He asked many questions. We understand the significance of these qualities. We see the role models who manifested these qualities. And we try to imbibe those qualities. As I said, right in the first class only, these qualities are very exalted. Overnight, we may not be able to imbibe and exhibit these qualities. Tolerance, humility, forgiveness. Trinadapi sunichena, taroriva sahishnuna. Be more tolerant than a tree. But at our level, as I said that day, I was giving this example. Somebody doesn't make your plate. You asked him to keep prasadam, 12:30, but he didn't keep prasadam, he has forgotten. Tolerate. Forgive him, bechara, bhool gaya. It's okay. Let me just wait till the evening meal, or let me just find out if something still is left out in kitchen. Like that. So they are definitely exalted. It may seem too lofty, but at our own level, we can manifest these qualities bit by bit, gradually. Right? I think I already mentioned it in the first session only. We can't rule out the necessity or significance of holding such discussions just because they are too lofty. We are there to, and we discussed a lot of practical things also. Did we not? And at our level, how are they applicable? And we have